Techno Progressivo. You are listening to Techno Progressivo on 101.9 CITR in Vancouver.
Welcome to Techno Progressivo. I'm DJ Waugh. You're listening to 101.9 CITR in Vancouver. I have a really nice interview feature on tap for tonight in the form of LA-based producer Nala. That's up shortly, but first let's kick the festivities off with this week's track of the week. Let us begin in a deeper direction with Rob Pearson's track, Do You Understand? Local producer Sean Dimitri gets the nod for the remix here. Enjoy.
Do you understand? Thank you.
Okay, a couple of really nice tracks of the week there. Toronto's Vax wrap things up with one called Booth Step Up. Both of those tracks are definitely worth your time to check out. On to the feature for tonight's show. She is someone who's clearly on the rise, having done a full show mix for Birdhouse Radio 2 weeks back, and her track Sun Is Hot featured on Defected Radio's podcast 1 week ago, and I was fortunate to be able to interview her prior to that. This is none other than Nala. A full track list for the interview and a collection of Nala web links can be found on Techno Progressivo's Facebook page. Here is part one of the interview. Okay, this is DJ Wah speaking to LA-based DJ and producer Nala. She's been producing and DJing throughout the past decade. She's played an enviable list of gigs, Sound and Skybar in Los Angeles, Space in Miami, and a whole host of other gigs throughout the U.S. For the past year, she's been hosting a weekly live stream on Dirty Bird Live, and her most recent release, Psychic Attack, also came out on Dirty Bird this past March, and she also featured as the guest DJ on the Birdhouse podcast earlier this week. So it's my pleasure to be speaking to her. This is Nala. Okay, so to begin with, how do you define your sound?
Well, I have a lot of influences in like the electro, like early 2000s, like electro era. And I have a lot of, I guess I get a lot of inspiration from like rave music as well. So like 90s rave. So I try to combine the two, that and like punk rock music. I really love like Riot Girl music, you know, music from like San Francisco, like Le Tigre and stuff like that. So I guess I have a bunch of different influences. It's not just one, but I guess I lean more like rock, electro, and rave.
Growing up, did you have any musical training that helped you out as a producer later on in life?
No. I mean, I did like piano class when I was like 7, you know, but nothing serious. And then I also did like band, like a middle school band, and I played trumpet. But about, like, aside from that, not really. I learned everything on my own once I was in college.
Is there anything about life and being raised in Miami that inspired you to produce this type of music?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't just Miami, it was also LA, but I had like a strong affinity for like raves. So I was going to a lot of raves in high school and through college, and I guess that's like how I ended up in this kind of genre. It was just kind of the music that I was around all the time.
So currently you are based in LA, and what drew you to that city? Was it the rave scene or was it something else?
Well, so originally I was born and raised in LA. I went to Miami for a little bit of high school and college. And as soon as I graduated, I had already started DJing, and I figured like, I mean, if I'm going to keep doing this, I should probably go to Los Angeles, where there's so many producers. I can learn so much more from people in that city. Miami's great and it's an amazing city, but I definitely felt like I had like a learning cap. So I came out here, and I mean, it's been exactly as I had imagined. I've learned a lot from a lot of different producers from all different genres, and it really helped me kind of get you know, my skills in line.
Can you tell me what the experience of getting out there and developing your reputation on the scene was like?
Yeah, I mean, I moved out here when I was 22, so I guess it was like a lot of partying, really. I was just going to clubs every single night. I was getting to know everyone, and I was, you know, getting really familiar with the people in this industry, in the electronic music industry, and that kind of helped me get gigs. That's kind of what I would suggest for anyone that's trying to be a DJ, is just go out. But I mean, post-pandemic, right now, stay in.
Right.
But
can you tell me, was there a moment when you realized it was all sort of falling into place and it wasn't just a passion or a love anymore, but it was actually something that you were going to make a career out of?
Oh, it was instantaneous. The first DJ gig I did, it was kind of a joke at first. I brought an iPad and I played on an iPad, like Tractor iPad. The photos came out from that event, and it looked like I was actually DJing on CDJs. And so all of a sudden I started getting like bookings, and I was like, oh no, I actually need to learn how to do this like for real now. And so I like practiced at this nightclub that I used to promote at, and I would get there at like 7 p.m. and I would practice before the club opened. And over the course of like 3 weeks, I was able to kind of get the hang of DJing with USB sticks, and then, you know, I was ready to play those gigs. So it kind of just like happened almost instantaneously, in the sense that like I didn't really have to try that hard to just go with it, you know, like the universe wanted it to happen.
Thank you.
So when you are DJing now live, what is the performance setup that you prefer to work with?
Oh, definitely CDJs and DJM. So CDJ is 2000, I guess, DJM. They've released so many new ones and I'm like trying to keep up with all of them, but CDJs are my go-to. I use a USB stick with record box and that's how I play.
Okay, yeah. And when you are programming a set, how much of that is planned in advance?
Well, it depends. With the live streams, I download new music every day right before I start. It's not really planned. I mean, it is planned in the sense that I just downloaded a bunch of new music, but I don't really know the songs and I just play them and try them out for everyone. But when it comes to like bigger sets, I guess like when I'm doing like real shows, I have like a refined playlist from my live stream playlist, which has like all the songs that I know are just like bangers. So, and that's kind of, and I just kind of go based on vibe. And yeah, so not totally planned, just halfway planned.
Okay, so can you tell me how you first got into producing?
I got into producing like 6 months after I started DJing. Some local DJs in Miami were like, well, if you want to be a real DJ, you're going to have to learn how to produce. And I was like, all right, challenge accepted. So I I learned actually initially from like a hip hop producer. He does stuff for like DJ Khaled, and he was a friend of mine. And so he taught me how to use the programs. People were giving me like all these programs, like I don't know if this is like something I should be saying, but like cracked programs. So they're and so I was like learning on like cracked programs, and then I was watching YouTube videos, learning from friends, and then, yeah, so that's how that happened.
Okay. So now that you are producing regularly, which DAW do you produce with?
Ableton.
Okay, and why?
I tried Logic, I tried some of the other ones. I just love the user ability of it. It's very, very like user friendly. And now at this point, I've just gotten so comfortable with it that I wouldn't want to change to anything else.
Okay. And within Ableton, do you use external VSTs or do you mostly use the stuff that they provide?
No, I use one VST in particular for most of my synths. It's just from Arturia, okay. That brand. Those are my favorites.
And do you have any outboard gear that you use, or do you mostly use VST stuff?
I don't own any, but I have friends that I've used some of their hardware. And for instance, with Psychic Attack, which was one of the last releases on Dirty Bird, I used a like Orbit dance synth. It was like a 90s synth rack. So it's a bunch of like samples, but it sounded so great. So we like recorded the stabs from that synth rack, and then we like edited them inside Ableton and like detune them and stuff. So
you can get away with it, but
When you start producing, do you have a track in mind or something that's going, a tune that's playing in your head, or do you just kind of mess around and hope that something happens?
Oh, I am all about happy accidents. Most of my producing is just like what I'm feeling in that moment. And it's not like pre-planned or anything. And the same with my like vocals and stuff. Like all my vocals initially start with me seeing something in a room and then writing, like creating a story based on like a singular word. Like the word attack in Psychic Attack was on the mixing board in the studio I was in. And I was like, oh, attack, psychic attack. This is how I'm feeling lately. And then I just wrote the song.
When you started producing, you mentioned a little bit of this earlier, but which part did you find most challenging?
Oh, definitely the sound design and mixing down tracks is something that I still struggle with. I really just don't know. It's hard to be, you know, the songwriter, the vocalist, the, you know, the producer, the engineer, and the mixing engineer, and the mastering engineer. And so those are all things that I definitely struggle with.
Discorder, that free magazine from CITR, has been documenting the best in music, arts, and culture since 1983. Let's see what one man of prestige has to say about Discorder.
What up, though? This is Big Snoop Dogg, and I fucks with Discorder magazine. How about that?
Smoke you every day. Pick up a copy around Vancouver or fuck with Discorder online at discorder.ca.
Without the help and support of our friends, we here at CITR wouldn't be able to bring you all the great music, art, cinema, and culture that you love. Thanks to the long-standing support from the Rio Theatre, we are able to keep you informed on all the great artists, films, and everything else coming to town there. For all the current information about who and what's playing at the Rio Theatre, visit their website at www.riotheatre.ca.
This is 101.9 CITR in Vancouver. You're listening to Techno Progressivo, and I am DJ Wah. That was part one of the Nala interview. Full track list and a collection of Nala weblinks can be found on Techno Progressivo's Facebook page. Part two of the interview begins now. Over the past year, you've been doing a weekly Twitch stream for Dirty Bird. How did that come about, and what's the relationship with the label been like for you?
I first was in contact with Dirty Bird in February. They were looking to take on a new artist, someone that had like a different sound. And so we started talking, and then we developed sort of like a mentorship type of relationship. And then outside of that, I started TV Party. And after a couple of weeks, they just were like, you know, we really like what you're doing. We're trying to start our own channel. Would you like to bring your show onto our channel? We have this many viewers. It might actually be really helpful for you. As I was running my show on their Twitch channel, I was also able to kind of like hone in on my production, and like with, you know, Claude Von Stroke as like a mentor, he was able to kind of teach me some of the mixing things that I was struggling with. And with Andy, his wife, who manages me, she was able to kind of help me with like the marketing aspect. So I have a very like great relationship with the label. They're some of the nicest people I've ever encountered in this industry. And TV Party has become kind of its own like, you know, staple on their like live stream channel, which is kind of cool.
Do you notice a definite bump up in your social media interest because of that exposure?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I've been exposed to people who I just feel like are such like amazing, I hate to call them fans, I feel like they're more like friends, but they're like just such supportive people. And yeah, I got a bump in I guess my numbers as a result of being involved with the label, for sure. I mean, I think that's what you would hope from with labels, is that they would be able to get you out to a bigger audience.
Is it me or is it getting harder than ever before?
Okay, over your career, are there any country-specific clubs or festival-type events that you've loved to play at or really excited to hopefully play at if COVID ever ends?
Yeah, I just want to do the whole world. Like, is that possible? I would love to go anywhere at this point. But I really do, like, love all different countries and stuff. I've been to Europe before. I want to go back. I want to go to Asia, all of Asia, and India, and Australia, and you know, I would love to go anywhere and everywhere.
Have you ever had a gig go horribly wrong?
Yeah, one time I showed up, and this was like way early in my career. I showed up and I didn't even know I was playing. I just saw that my name was on a flyer. So I showed up, I get there thinking I'm gonna be playing on CDJs, and it was all like Serato vinyl. So then I was like, okay, I don't really know how to do that, but I'll learn. I don't know why, I figured I'd learn. And so then I did learn. And and within like 10 minutes of being there, like I had my dad bring me my computer and I like downloaded Serato and then I put all my music on there and then I managed to like somehow play a DJ set with these two Serato vinyls. Yeah, I guess. And then they're like, okay, great. Thank you for the first part of your set. The second part of your set is outside. And I go outside and it's only one vinyl player. So it's just the mixer and one vinyl. I'm like, how am I supposed to, I don't even know how to do that. And they're like, oh, it's all internal. And I'm like, what does that even mean? And somehow, I have no idea how, I managed to actually do it. It wasn't great. It wasn't great, but I was like on a stage with a spotlight on me, like freaking out. And I managed somehow to make it work. And I still to this day have nightmares in that kind of setting. I think about that moment all the time.
Which do you feel more passionate about, DJing or producing, and why? And which do you find more challenging?
Oh, that's a really tough question. I don't know. I mean, I feel like if I don't produce, then I'm not going to be like happy. So I guess that's the one that matters most to me at this point, is like being able to write my songs and write my stories. I mean, I love DJing too. I guess once you're your DJ, it's like hard to listen to music all the time. So I don't even really listen to music that much as a result, unless I'm like actively looking for music to play. So yeah, I think producing is more important and more important to me, 100%.
Tell me one track that you're most proud of producing.
I think I'm most proud of Psychic Attack, just because I feel like a lot of people kind of resonate with it.
Can you name one or two producers or DJs whom you really, really admire and why?
Yes, I love Tiga and I love James Murphy. And I just love their the rock and roll edge they bring to electronic music. I think it's great, and I love that they use such great synthesizers and they're always doing their own thing.
Thank you.
What is the vision for the future of yourself, production-wise and in DJing?
To kind of just keep doing what I'm doing, but just do more of it. yeah.
Okay, and is there anything you want to promote right now?
No, I think we've got new music coming, but I'm not ready to talk about it yet. Okay.
This has been Nala. A selection of Nala tracks can be found on Beatport, Apple Music, and Juno Download, and a full list of Nala web links can also be found on the Techno Progressivo Facebook page. So thank you very much for doing this.
Pro. call it transcendence.
Psytrance, hard trance, epic trance, acid trance, deep trance, hard dance, breakbeat. Every Sunday at 10 p.m. to midnight. Hosted by DJ Smiley Mike and DJ Caddyshack.
We are all done for another episode of Techno Progressivo. Thank you so much to Nala for agreeing to do this. Some amazing tracks there and an outstanding voice. She is definitely a star on the rise. Head to Techno Progressivo's Facebook page for the full track list and a massive collection of Nala web links to find out more about her. If you've enjoyed the show and want to check it out again, you can do so in two ways. Go to citr.ca and check out the Techno Progressivo show page. You can also go to Apple Podcasts and search out Techno Progressivo that way. A lot of amazing mixes and interviews to be found there. Up next is Transcendence with DJ Smiley Mike, a two-hour trip through the world of trance, so give that a listen. Join me back here in 2 weeks to check out my interview with Canadian techno legend Mistress Barbara. Definitely worth your time. Before I go, let's do as we always do and set the controls in the time machine for this week's track from the past. Let's hop back 11 years in time to a glitchy, blippy underground monster. This is Petre Foy, PJC Project, and Rosie Romero with Nuts Noise. Enjoy this.